The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Seth Greenberg from ESPN, Seth on Hoops, Seth, who the U of A fans either really like or don't like at all. With Arizona getting ready for the NCAA tournament, there's really no reason why they're not going to go to New Orleans, or is there? And the job that Tommy Lloyd has done versus Sean Miller, I'm going to bring that up with Seth Greenberg, Seth on Hoops. Be good to have Seth on board. Michael Fabiano today, because there's been so much movement on the fantasy football front. Russell Wilson being traded, the Steelers trying to find a quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. What happens in Seattle where you have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and is it going to be Drew Locke? So fantasy football never stops, never sleeps. We'll have Michael Fabiano from SI.com and SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt. He will be with us as well. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I watched the Coyotes last night, of all things. I'm not making fun of them. Have you guys noticed they're, I don't know, winning a little bit? And it's kind of fun when you have the Suns. March is supposed to be a fun month, okay? Because spring training should be underway. Finally on Thursday, it'll get started. Bally Sports, our television partner, sent me over a schedule this morning. They're going to have like 10 baseball games on. It'll be nice to be here in my office and have a ball game on during the day. A lot of day games are going to show on Bally starting on Thursday. And then you have the Coyotes, who are relevant. They're playing at 4 o'clock. You have the Suns playing tonight in New Orleans. We all know what they're about. They're playing so. And you have March Madness right around the corner on both the men's and women's side. And you have NFL free agency. Other than that, there's nothing going on. March is great. March is even better, though, when you know that baseball season is coming and you can look forward to that on top of your brackets and then take in a little bit of basketball and hockey at night. So I'm very happy, very pleased. Today is actually the first day of Arizona State spring football. Jordan Hamm is out at ASU spring football. In fact, Jordan's doing the double today. Jordan is going to be at ASU football this morning and then be at U of A football tonight. We like what Jed Fish is doing, even though they're 1-23 in their last 24 games. Numbers don't lie, but I do believe they're building in the right direction, so Jordan will be at both places today. Arizona, the Wildcats basketball program, will all be available this afternoon around 2 o'clock in Tucson, so you see some of that showing up on the site today over on sports360az.com. And then the free agent stuff will keep going on. So there's a lot, in short, for me, for us here on the site, there's a lot going on, pro, college, high school, across the great state of Arizona. We do have a partnership with DraftKings I want to tell you about, because with the NCAA tournament coming up, all you have to do is go on our website, go to sports360az.com's homepage. If you're watching this, just go to the homepage. Go click on one of the DraftKings banners, sign up, get yourself ready to go. Use the promo code SPORTS1000, SPORTS, S-P-O-R-T-S, 1000, SPORTS1000. Get your account going, put $5 in, make a bet, and you're off and running, and there'll be all sorts of promos for you as well. That's with DraftKings. We appreciate their partnership. I think on the Cardinals free agent front, everything that came down yesterday was not a surprise to me. I didn't sit there and say, wow, I didn't think that would happen. Like, I would like to see Christian Kirk stay with Arizona, but if you're going to be offered as much money as Jacksonville, Jacksonville is spending money like a drunk sailor right now. You're Christian Kirk, you have to do that. You have to take the money. Is Jacksonville a place that is going to win a Super Bowl? The answer is 99 out of 100 times, no. But do you want to win a Super Bowl? Do you want to take care of your body? Can you go get another contract somewhere else? In Christian Kirk's case, he may not need to. And I think he's going to be a productive receiver. It's just Jacksonville has a lot of guys in their receiver room. And we'll talk with Michael Fabiano coming up in about 20 minutes on that front. Chase Edmonds going to Miami is another space of not surprised. Didn't think that they could afford to keep both Chase Edmonds and James Conner. And the facts are, when you watch running backs get beat on unmercifully, their shelf life is not very long. And Chase Edmonds did some very good things while he's here in Arizona. But you have to look at it and say, is it worth paying both James Conner and Chase Edmonds? The Cardinals clearly have to get another running back. I'd love to see them get Breece Hall out of Iowa State. I'm not saying the first round. If Breece Hall's sitting there in the second round, I'd be very happy with that. But, you know, both those players leaving, not a surprise. Colt McCoy coming back, not a surprise. So as things have progressed here, I think Zach Ertz a bit of a surprise and a pleasant one. I'm very happy on that front. Look, guys, some of you want to just bang on the general manager all day long, no matter what he does in any way, shape, and form. And I'm just like, yeah, there's times to bring out the fly swatter, and then there's times to bring out the sledgehammer. And right now with Steve Keim, I can't do that because I think what he has done with Zach Ertz was a smart move. Christian Kirk, he's going to go take the money. I think you can go find a wide receiver. You're not going to find the hometown wide receiver that fans adore and all of that. And there'll be people that will resent letting a hometown kid go. And I just kind of shrug my shoulders and say, it's business. This isn't any disrespect to Christian Kirk. Look, someone came along and said, Brad, I'm going to pay you $80 million if it's all the way through the contract. And you want to go move to Jacksonville to do what you're doing. I'd probably listen if I'm in that profession, right? So, and you would too. I think the Honey Badger going to Baltimore, it's, you know, Tyrann Mathieu. I always look back at when the Cardinals went through that space of Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu and the money that they were throwing at him, and now neither one is here. And those are two good dudes that when they went through the dark days, you know, and Patrick was here during the dark days too, but in particular with Tyrann, when the Cardinals had Tyrann here and they went over to Kansas City and did his thing, then he got hurt. And he's had a lot of hits, and he's laid out a lot of hits, and he gets another contract at Baltimore. I have to believe Calais Campbell somewhere, some way, somehow got involved in that one and said, hey, man, get over here. Help us out. We can win. We just need you. So good for him. That happened late last night. Randy Gregory signed this morning with Denver, and Chandler Jones' name had been all around Denver. And now you look at Dallas and you say, Randy Gregory was supposed to go back to Dallas, and that's probably been the surprise move so far today. Again, we'll talk with Michael Fabiano shortly. And the Suns tonight, I think they catch a break. You know, they should, regardless, even if C.J. McCollum were to play, but he's in protocol. He's not going to play tonight against the Suns down in New Orleans. That's a game they should win. Brandon Ingram's very talented, very good player. But, again, a team that is, I think, their 10th or 9th in the West. I watched Denver and Philly last night for a bit, and you know, the Nuggets a year ago, the Suns had their way with them, in my opinion. If you watch that series up front, up close, as I did, as many of you did, they were just the better team than Denver. There wasn't any mistake about that. When Anthony Davis was spouting nonsense the other night about, yeah, if I would have been healthy, well, you weren't, and it's over. These guys that do the, well, if I would have been, okay, we're going to sit here and parse about how ridiculous a comment that was. No, it's just it's a competitor. That's what they do. I saw Carl Anthony Towns get his 60 last night. He's on a bad team putting up a bunch of shots, but a very talented player. And that's some of what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. All right, up next, it is Seth Greenberg. Seth on Hoops, U of A, back into the tournament we go. Wildcats are waiting till Friday to find out their opponent. We'll talk with Seth Greenberg from ESPN. That's next. All right, let's take a deeper dive now into the U of A as they get ready for their first opponent out in San Diego. None better than Let's Go National now with Seth Greenberg, ESPN, Seth on Hoops. If you follow him on Twitter, of course, it's Seth, Jay Billis, and LaFonso Ellis, the Bald Men on Campus podcast. I am not part of that deal. I don't have that swag. But Seth joins us right off the set at ESPN for a couple of minutes. I just want to get right into U of A with you for a few minutes, Seth. And is there any reason from your view that they are not playing in the Final Four?
I picked them to go to the Final Four. I actually picked them to win the national championship. So, oh, yeah, there's a reason. I mean, look, it's one game. You pick a bad day to have a bad day. You know, obviously, Kerr, you know, depending on when he comes back, I think they survived the first weekend without him. Although I actually love their team when Mathurin and Terry are having the ball in their hands a little bit more. I'm a huge Dalen Terry fan. I'm huge. Like, I think he's a pro. I think he's a terrific passer. I think he defends, he rebounds, makes enough shots to keep you honest. He's a hard matchup. So I think Kyra's is a nice option. But look, you got to play well. And you know Arizona, I mean, they've had good teams that haven't advanced. They've had good teams that have advanced and won national championships. So, I mean, you know, it's one and out. It's not a seven-game series. Seven-game series, I'm not sure anyone can beat them. In a one night, someone owns the tempo of the game, takes them out of transition. They don't shoot it well. Someone on the other team gets it going a little bit. You know, you never know. I mean, that could happen. They lost to Colorado. I mean, those things happen. You know, no one's gone undefeated, but I love their team. I love their team. I love how they play. I love how they pass. I love how they defend. I love how unselfish they are. And they've gotten better.
Are you surprised that Tommy Lloyd has come in and has gotten this thing turned around in such a hurry?
I'm not, first of all, turned around. I mean, Sean did a really good job. I mean, like, you know, we'll see people say turned around. Sean Miller had great success, and Sean Miller had players. Now, Tommy, what he was able to do is he actually re-recruited those guys because those guys could have went anywhere. He could have lost his whole team. So, I mean, he had access to five, six really good players, and he connected with those guys. And by connecting with those guys, he put himself in position to have an experienced roster with that had maturity, even though they're sophomores mostly, and talented. And then he put them in a system that fit their skill set. So, you know, when I look at Tommy Lloyd, he's a terrific coach. He's a great communicator. Players look like they love to play for him. But the connecting with those kids and convincing them to stay, that was masterful recruiting. And he can coach his tail off. So I'm not surprised on the coaching side. And I'm not surprised because of the makeup of their team that he was able to recruit those guys back, because the makeup of their team, you know, with those international players, he had a natural connection with.
Seth Greenberg with us for a couple of minutes off the set at ESPN. We appreciate his time here. I've had a lot of fans that have said, Brad, when I see the Cats play, I see Gonzaga because of Few and Lloyd. Yeah. You see that as well.
Yeah, they're Gonzaga 2.0. That's what they are. They're better defensively, though. Mm. They're explosive offensively. They're unselfish. They flow into their offense. They've got good sets that are hard to – that attack matchups. But defensively, Christian Coloco, his ability to move his feet defensively is something else. Yeah, yeah. Dale Terry's an elite defender. Trebellis is a hard-working guy that's, you know, tough to match up and works on. Like, they're good players. Offensive players are also committed defensive players. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, when I see Trebellis, he's the guy that so far, and I was in Vegas at the Pac-12 tournament, a lot of people are wanting to see what Mathurin is all about. He's a wooden guy, of course, and all the national. But I see Trebellis just go about his business in a way, Seth, that is, I don't want to say he's off the radar, under the radar, any of that stuff, but I don't feel like the kid really the last few weeks has gotten enough buzz, interest, deserved, all that stuff. And I know it comes with victories, but he seems to be the unsung guy out here.
He and Terry, to me, are the unsung guys. I mean, Terry does all the dirty work. Elite defender, very good passer, good in transition, runs the court hard, gets to the offensive glass. But Trebellis is the same thing. Like, here's the thing about Arizona. They all embrace what they do well. None of them do anything they don't do well. And that's the sign of coaching.
Before I get you out of here, Illinois and Tennessee in the same bracket. They've played them this year. How much of an advantage is that to Arizona, having, if they go deep into this, they've already faced those teams?
Well, I mean, Tennessee, they, you know, at Tennessee was a little rough. Let's be honest. Tennessee defensively, Tennessee on the basketball is as good as any team in the country. And that's where they dominated. They turned them over. They pushed them out. They took them out of rhythm. They took them out of flow. Illinois, obviously, they won in Champaign. They can look at those tapes. It's like almost playing a second league game the second time. You have something to look at and say, right, this was good. This wasn't good. We need to attack that. We need to guard that a little differently. We need to figure out a way to create easier leads to get into flow. So all that, you know, like those non-conference games that you get a chance to play in the tournament, those first games are like fact-finding missions.
Mm-hmm. Last question, I'll get you out of here. Pac-12 overall with the three schools. I look at SC, UCLA, and U of A, and you mentioned the job that Tommy did in keeping kids here. None of those guys brought in a bunch of transfers. They all just reworked what they have for another season. Is there something to that in this day and age of transfer portal, Seth?
I think it depends on your roster. I mean, like, yeah, you don't need to bring in a whole lot of players. When Miles Johnson came in for UCLA as a shot blocker, I mean, that was good. And you guys brought in some complimentary players as transfers. You know, USC has a roster of of transfers. Now, yeah, I think that you go to the portal to fill holes. You go to the portal when you take over a job to get your roster in order. Those are three schools that'll be destinations for high school kids and for kids coming out of the portal. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it is what it is. It's not going back. NIL and portal aren't changing. So you better adapt and have the agility to use it to your advantage.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight on where you're bouncing around today, Seth. Thanks.
Right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And I know they love me in Tucson.
There you go. You're all over in Tucson. That's it.
All right.
There's Thank Seth you. Greenberg, Seth on Hoops, and again, his podcast, Ball Men on Campus with Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, Seth Greenberg. And we're back with more after this timeout. And now it's time for Fabs. It's off-season free agent frenzy with Michael Fabiano. How are you, Fabs?
Good, man. What's this off-season that you speak of? I don't
you don't know anything about it.
I don't know what that is. Got like dudes are getting traded, coming out of retirement after a month. There's a lot going on.
Of course, Fabs on Sirius XM. You can hear him there. He's involved on a lot of different platforms. Follow him over on the social media side. Let's go through the Cardinals. Would you rather have kept Chase Edmonds than James Conner from a fantasy standpoint? The offer was on the table to Chase Edmonds. He goes to Miami. Evaluate that.
On the surface, it's good for both guys because Conner, right now, the Cardinals are either going to sign another complimentary back or draft one. They're not done at running back, right? And so I like that James Conner is going to be the lead back and he'll get the goal line opportunities. But I mean, he was the RB5 last year at 18 touchdowns. That's not going to happen again. Regression is going to come for him. If he has like 8 to 10 touchdowns, it's going to be a really good season in 2022 for James Conner. So far so good. He's on the RB2 radar. And if the Cardinals or if and when the Cardinals add another running back, well, maybe we have to adjust that a little bit. But in terms of Chase Edmonds, I feel like his value goes up a little bit because he's only got Miles Gaskin really ahead of him on the depth chart. So I would think that would be a committee in Miami because Malcolm Brown's a free agent. Salvon Ahmed's a free agent. Duke Johnson's a free agent. So they're probably still going to add another one or two backs. Maybe one of those guys will jump into the mix as well. So Edmonds will be in some sort of committee. But right now, as it stands, I like him and his role increasing a little bit more behind a Miles Gaskin than it ended up being last year where he got virtually no touchdown opportunities. Still put up good numbers in a limited number of games because he missed some time due to injuries. Still a good back, more of a flex option though.
What about Christian Kirk, Fabs? How big a blow is it to the Arizona offense?
I wonder if he would adopt a 48-year-old fantasy football analyst. That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money for Christian Kirk. Like, the Jaguars spent a lot of money, and I don't know how much better they got. Like, Brandon Sheriff on the offensive line, yeah, heck yeah, right? But and no offense to Christian Kirk, but, I mean, this is a guy who's never really put up monster numbers in his career. Last year was, like, the first year he really played an entire slate of games. And I just feel like with Kirk and Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault, they gave Zay Jones $30 million over 3 years. They added Evan Engram. Like, that's really good for Trevor Lawrence potentially, but how good is it for the receivers there? There's a lot of mouths to feed in there. And I didn't even mention that they're getting Travis Etienne back, who's a really good pass catching running back, and James Robinson's in the mix. So the Jaguars could be one of those teams where it's like, well, they've improved for Trevor Lawrence, so that's good for his value. But how much can I really trust anybody on that team from a fantasy perspective, right? I don't think Christian Kirk's anything more than a wide receiver 3 or 4 at best because he's got a lot of people around him. Now, maybe the Jaguars make a move and decrease the number of weapons around. I don't know. But that's a lot of money. I mean, Dan Arnold's still on the roster, too. So I'm not enamored with anyone individually for the Jaguars. Everything there that they've done helps Trevor Lawrence more than it really helps the individual players.
But, you know, in Trevor Lawrence's case now, Michael, I think I'm going to take a longer look at him this coming season. I'm not saying he's a you know, first five round guy, six round guy. But I've got to look at him a little bit more carefully than I did last year. Because last year, he was going to get his head kicked in. There was not a chance he'd be upright. He had nobody to work with. So I, from a fantasy standpoint, I'm at least going to be sitting there saying, okay, this might be a waiver wire guy if I have an injury, which I'm going to have an injury at some point.
Yeah, or a late round flyer. You know, if you're in a 12-team league or a 14-team league, you take a shot on him. Sure, because I mean, remember this guy came out of college, you know, with a ridiculous pedigree. People were, you know, saying he was the best thing since Andrew Luck. The, you know, he was a sure thing. Last year was terrible, but how much of that was Urban Meyer and his coaching staff? Of course, Doug Peterson is in the head coaching spot now there in Jacksonville. Maybe that'll change things. But I think Lawrence's arrow is certainly pointing up.
All right, before I get you out of here, let me run through some of the quarterbacks. And again, this is, we may finish this segment and everything changes within like a nanosecond. I get
right.
that. But as you sit here today, Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers, Michael, where are you at on that one?
I think he's going to be the starting quarterback. He will compete with Mason Rudolph, clearly, but it will be ultimately Trubisky's job. And maybe the Steelers go out there and draft a quarterback, potentially as the quarterback of the future. And maybe Trubisky is kind of like that 1 or 2 year bridge as a garbage truck goes by my my window. Welcome to that happens when I'm doing videos for Sports Illustrated too. And I'm like, hey guys, we got to stop a little bit here, 'cause there's a giant truck driving by my street. Right. So, so basically Trubisky, who averages about 18 points a game in one of his years in Chicago, you know, and got the Bears to the postseason. He's got a lot of stink on him, but Allen Robinson had a couple of good years when Trubisky was mostly the quarterback there in Chicago. So I like this for Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and, you know, Najee Harris. I still think they have to improve the offensive line. Hopefully they'll do that through free agency and the draft. But Trubisky's value is back on the rise. Now, is Trubisky going to be drafted in a standard 10 or 12 team league?
No.
And probably not. But could he end up making an impact as a matchup-based starter, as a guy who you use in DFS when the value is right? Absolutely. And certainly in two QB leagues, he will be drafted across the board. I think he will be the starter in Pittsburgh.
All right, Russell Wilson, what do you make out of it?
Out of nowhere, kind of like didn't think he was going to move, ended up moving. This is a reminder that never trust anything that any coaches or NFL personnel people say, right? Because Pete Carroll said like a week or two earlier that we're not trading Russell Wilson, and then they traded Russell Wilson.
Right.
So Russell is still going to be a top 10 to 12 fantasy quarterback, no question about that. Hopefully Nathaniel Hackett will let him cook. That's what we want. And Hackett, of course, is a guy who has had some experience in offenses throwing the football, right? He's got some, he's had some pretty good quarterbacks. Most recently, a guy who, you know, won a few MVPs. So I like that. I don't think we're going to ever get the Russell who's going to rush for like 500 or 600 yards in a season again. I don't know that we're going to get that again as he goes into his age, I believe 33 season. But, you know, you've got Courtland Sutton and you got KJ Hamler and Jerry Jeudy, and you got Albert Okwuegbunam, and you've got Tim Patrick, and you've got Javonte Williams. I don't know if Melvin Gordon's going to be back or not, but they have weapons there. So everybody in that offense sees his value go up. And if Gordon doesn't sign back with the Broncos, well, Javonte Williams is going to be a first round pick. I mean, that's a massive advantage to have a quarterback like Russell Wilson under center, keeping defenses honest, where maybe Drew Lock or a guy like Teddy Bridgewater wasn't able to do that as much. So it's good all around for the Broncos, and it's not so good all around for Seattle.
You know, on a fantasy end, Michael, getting Russell Wilson over to the AFC West versus getting out of where he was with the just murderous division, in my opinion, he could put up some numbers. I think he's in a better division with those teams he's going to play twice.
Well, also, too, well, fantasy. So think about it.
For fantasy.
You could be right. He could get into some shootouts there.
Yes.
With the Chargers and with the Raiders and the Chiefs. But the Chargers, holy goodness. I mean, their defense, I mean, they got Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson. I mean, they could be really good on the defensive side of the football. Actually, they should be really good, or something went terribly wrong. But, yeah, I mean, there could be some high-scoring games there, no question about that. You know, the Cardinals have, at this point, a little bit less competition. Seattle's the worst team in that division by a mile. And, you know, what do the Niners do with Garoppolo? Is it Trey Lance? Hopefully it is. You know, the Rams, how many teams go back-to-back to the Super Bowl? It doesn't happen very often. You know, so that's a, you know, that could be a positive. The Cardinals, they still have some work to do, right, too, because, you know, AJ Green's a free agent. How much can they lean on Rondale Moore? Like, he's really exciting and a very dynamic player, but he also had really wasn't all that durable during his college days. So the Cardinals got a little bit of work to do as well. I like that they brought back Zach Ertz, though.
Yeah,
that was a good signing. Zach Ertz, when he was in Arizona last year, was a top five tight end in fantasy. He was very good.
Okay, what do you say about Seattle? If you're a guy that is into DK Metcalf, like a lot of people are, and yeah, they're going to go get somebody, I would think, or it's like, no, they're going to go with Locke. What do you think of Seattle?
I don't. That's the thing. Like, so you know, there were reports about like Seattle being in on Deshaun Watson, but then there were other reports that Watson didn't have Seattle on the team, the list of teams that he would go to. Right. And now Atlanta suddenly is jumping in and they're showing interest in Deshaun Watson. Right. So like all these NFC South teams are you know, digging in on him with the Saints and Carolina. So, you know, for me, Seattle might be in a position where like they may be forced to start Drew Lock this year. And maybe they draft like Malik Willis in the top 10. From what I've heard, he's not ready to be a starter in the NFL. He needs some work. So that would be a nice long-term potential fix where they get their franchise quarterback of the future, but they have to start Drew Lock. And I don't know that they would bring in, like, you know, is Jameis Winston, say, for example, a massive upgrade over Drew Lock? I mean, maybe. I don't know that that's necessarily true. Or Marcus Mariota, you know, do the Browns get in on the Deshaun Watson situation? Apparently he's meeting with them. Does Baker Mayfield become a free agent or become available to be traded at that point? I mean, the Seahawks aren't getting Garoppolo because the Niners aren't going to trade him within the division.
Right.
So there's limited choices, right? I mean, Bridgewater already signed, Trubisky already signed. So honestly, Seattle may be in a situation where they're like, you know what? We're going to draft Willis. He's going to be our future quarterback. Maybe he'll be ready by midseason. We start the year with Drew Lock. We bring back Rashad Penny. We couple him with Chris Carson. We run the hell out of the ball. And then that's not going to be good for Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. Right now their values are certainly pointing downward, especially with the prospect of Drew Lock being under center.
Yeah. No, it's very fair because, you know, Tyler Lockett's done a lot of good for the Brad Sesmat Fund through the years. You know, he just has. And you know, you're sitting there looking at two really good receivers in Seattle saying, what the heck? You know.
Yeah, I mean, Noah Fant's there now too, although he's got the rapport with Locke from their time together in Denver. But still, how many fantasy managers are going to draft a guy who's going to be catching the majority of his passes from Drew Locke and think, oh, yeah, I'm all in? Not many.
He is Michael Fabiano. Of course, you can get him over on CBS Sports where he does his fantasy football work. He's on Sirius XM. He did not mention the Dallas Cowboys once during this interview segment.
I could, though.
Oh, really?
Because I mean, listen. This is a typical Cowboys offseason.
Here we go.
Well, trade Amari Cooper for nothing, right? We traded a first round pick to get him.
We
get a fifth and a sixth. Great. It is we. I suffer along with them. This is 40 plus years, Mr. Sesmat. And you know, like the So there was a report that Randy Gregory was signing back with the Cowboys.
Oh.
And now something just popped up that he's signing with the Broncos. So that was so the Cowboys lost Randy Gregory right in the middle of my, you know, starting my rant about why the Cowboys stink. So we the DeMarcus Lawrence contract, you know, 3 for 30, that helps. But you know, we have to trade or release Lyle Collins, who's a good offensive lineman. We trade Cooper, and then we give Gallup a lot of money coming off an ACL and really a guy who's not put up massive numbers in the league. It's typical Cowboys crap. Jerry Jones is don't know what the hell they're doing with the salary cap. Zeke is making too much money, and we can't get out of that contract. So, you know what? At least the division we play, it stinks. We play
CD
in a bad division.
Yeah. I'm going to keep CD on my radar again.
No, CD is going to be – CD, this will be his breakout year. And Dalton Schultz will also be very good again because the targets will be there.
All right. Hey, stay well, stay safe. Thanks for the time. I'll let you go off that. See ya.
All right, pal.
There's Michael Fabiano, all things around the fantasy front. We're back with more after this timeout.